Hello, and welcome to the Fisheries Podcast. In this first episode, I will be telling you about me, the host, how the podcast came to be, and where I see it headed into the future. Thank you for joining me. I am Nick Kramer, and this is the Fisheries Podcast, a podcast aimed at spreading fisheries science to both scientists and the public. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter, at FisheriesPod. I will post questions and ask for input there. And like anybody, I'd appreciate any ideas, commentary, or complaints that you may have. So who am I? I am Nick Kramer, and I will preface this by saying that I am not a fan of talking about myself or what I have done. In the past, I have done poorly in interviews because I did not talk enough about myself, but I guess all things must come to an end. I grew up in the small town of Minden, Iowa. And once I was old enough, I would ride my bike 2 miles to the nearest farm pond every chance I got. I was a typical small-town American kid. I played 3 sports and did well in school. And when it came time to figure out what I wanted to go to college for, I picked engineering because I was pretty good at math. And to be honest, it paid pretty good. So I applied and was accepted into Iowa State University without even visiting the school. They had a pretty good engineering program, so I felt comfortable with that decision. And around that same time, I got a new issue of Bassmaster magazine, and I used to just mostly flip through the magazine, but in this one, I read one of the editor's columns that just happened to be about fisheries biologists and what they do. And from that moment on, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I switched my major before I even stepped foot on campus for my visit. I was there the standard 4 years, and I loved every second of it. If there is one thing in this world that I love more than fish, my wife, or my dogs, it is probably my Iowa State Cyclones. In between spring and fall semesters each year, I completed 4 internships with the Iowa DNR. I started out doing boat ramp surveys, spreading the word about aquatic invasive species such as zebra mussels or silver carp to recreational boaters who could care less what I was talking about. I then spent the next 2 summers traveling the state conducting aquatic vegetation surveys on nearly every body of water in the state of Iowa. The summer after I graduated, they finally let me play with fish as a fisheries management intern on the Mississippi River, stationed on the edge of the thriving metropolis of Fairport, Iowa. At one point that summer, we went down to Keokuk for a few days to help a crew that had come up from Missouri. Those in the Asian carp world might know this small river town as a major stopping point in the Asian carp invasion. It is one of the oldest lock and dam structures on the Mississippi River, and is built like your typical low-head dam. The only way any fish are going to get past this thing is to go through the lock chamber. So we worked there for about 2 days where I met Dr. Quentin Phelps, and I think the first thing he asked me after my name was if I was interested in getting my master's degree. I kept telling him, no way, I'm done with school, I just wanted to sample fish as a fisheries technician the rest of my life. And as a side note, while we were both there, Quentin and crew were putting transmitters into silver carp and big head carp. And a few months later, when they checked the receivers, they actually detected fish moving above the dam for the first time ever, using the lock chamber. So a few months after I met Quentin and his crew, I somehow found myself down in Missouri. Quentin had hired me on to work on a crew sampling pallid sturgeon on the Mississippi River near Cape Girardeau. Pallid sturgeon is a federally endangered fish facing population declines due to river modifications and overexploitation of the fish to feed the caviar market. In this whole time I was there, we only sampled 2 pallid sturgeon that were genetically confirmed. So after a year, and enough of Quentin's pestering, he had finally talked me into going back to school. My project while there was looking at paddlefish exploitation and reproduction in the Mississippi River. It was a fun 2 years that went by much faster than I had wanted it to. And the whole time in Missouri, I was able to work with so many cool people and fish, everything from lake sturgeon to American eel, paddlefish, and of course those pesky silver carp. After defending my thesis, I had many interviews in many different places, and I finally landed in Kansas. The good part with hills, trees, water, northeast Kansas. I'm currently a management biologist covering 6 counties in the northeast corner. I live in a small town whose most notable past resident just happens to be an Iowa State basketball player, and I currently live there with my wife and 2 dogs, 10 minutes from one of the best crappie reservoirs in the Midwest. But enough about my past. Let's talk about the present and the future that is the Fisheries Podcast. Like many of you, I listen to podcasts nearly every day, and if you haven't figured it out yet, I am a huge Iowa State Cyclone fan. And the easiest and my favorite way to keep tabs on the Cyclones is to listen to various podcasts. A few months back, I began to think, why isn't there a podcast for fisheries professionals? There is a podcast for nearly every topic, and honestly, I was a little upset that I couldn't find what I was looking for. But I didn't think I was the person that was going to begin recording podcasts. My idea didn't leave, though, and no one else picked up on it, so I began Googling what it took to do a podcast. The equipment, the content, the intestinal fortitude to put yourself out there. And I was, for some reason, surprised at how easy it was. Perhaps I was hoping it was a little more difficult so I could pass the buck on to somebody else. So that brings us up to last week, the 148th annual meeting of the American Fisheries Society that was held in Atlantic City. I finally arrived after a hectic day of traveling to my hotel the night before a scientific communication workshop with a podcast idea in my head. I was fully prepared to talk to someone, anybody, about it while I was in Atlantic City. The day of the workshop rolls around, and I'm maybe the fifth person to show up to the workshop. Patrick Cooney of the Fisheries Blog was one of the instructors, and he had sent out a few questions to us to answer before the class started. One of which was, what you hope to gain from this workshop in 140 characters or less? And I answered, to become a better voice for my fellow fisheries biologist, because I'm tired of people thinking I'm a game warden. I don't know about you all in the marine world, but here in the Midwest, we're commonly mistaken for game wardens when we show up to a lake, and people think we're there to write them tickets rather than to sample and enhance their fisheries populations. And this was a topic that Joe Margraf brought up in his installation speech at 146. People just don't know what fisheries professionals do, and I'm hoping to fix that with this podcast. So back to the workshop, Patrick introduced himself and was asking more general questions about me and said he and the co-instructors all enjoyed my answer that I had provided earlier in the email. And I'm naturally an introvert and was never much of a class participant, so I was slightly uncomfortable that I had drawn attention to myself. I guess I didn't want to be relied upon to provide any answers during the workshop. Patrick then gave some opening remarks. Rich McBride and Aaron Bunch also provided some PowerPoint presentation on becoming a more effective scientific communicator. During one of Patrick's presentations, he asked the group, how many of us use Twitter? The room was filled with a younger crowd of about a dozen people, mostly grad students and early career professionals. But only one or two of us raised our hand. And I remember thinking, man, little old me, am I really more vocal about fish stuff than other people in this room? The workshop goes on and we get to a point for questions. And a grad student from Arizona asked if the fisheries blog has given any thought to jumping over to podcast form or something very similar. And in my head I was thinking, I'm not the only one. Someone else has this idea. And that got me curious. So the following morning I sent out a tweet and asked a simple question. Hey fisheries folks, how many of you would be interested in a fisheries podcast? Would you want an interview style with different guests or kind of a verbal style of fisheries blog? And then I told people to come find me if they wanted to discuss. I guess how naive of me to think people could pick me out of 1,800 other fisheries professionals based off my Twitter avatar. Regardless, the tweet gained enough attention on my Twitter to think it was a good idea, and it was likely my most popular tweet in my 9-year, 1,000-tweet history on the app. It had gained 71 likes and 11 retweets, drawing attention from people that I viewed as fisheries social media pillars. It also drew some replies, such as Resolving Dust saying, oh, a fisheries podcast would be fab. A handful of others also said some form of, I would love that. So you get the idea. There were some definite positive attitudes toward the fisheries podcast. And that cemented in my head as well that this was an idea that people could get behind, and it was definitely something the fisheries community wanted. So here I am, 1 week and 1,300 miles removed from AFS 148, recording the first podcast in a series that I hope continues well into the future. Now, how do I see the podcast going? I plan to interview an expert of a certain fish species, genus, or technique every episode and ask them questions about those topics in a manner that scientists will be interested in, but also simple enough that any non-fisheries professionals would also be interested in. I had a professor at Iowa State whose teaching philosophy was that if you can't explain it to your Uncle Jack, then you don't truly understand it. And I'm not saying that we don't truly understand our science. I might not at times, but I'm sure somebody does. But more along the lines of, we haven't really tried too hard to explain it simply to people outside of our little bubble. And in the end, we need to realize that most, if not all, the science we do is for the public's benefit, and not just to please the members of the scientific community. For example, let's look at LAICPMS, or laser ablation inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. It's a mouthful, but it's also a growing method in fisheries science. This is perhaps the most mind-blowing science that I had ever been introduced to in my short time in this field, and it just sounds downright scary to begin to understand. If I were to walk into my local grocery store here in Kansas and tell people that their state agency is doing laser ablation inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry on blue catfish in their state, they'd probably become quite alarmed and probably even go up the chain and tell the secretary or the commissioners what we're doing. But if we explained it simply and told them that we're using this new methodology to determine whether the blue catfish found in our Kansas River are wild fish or escaping from our federal reservoirs after being stocked by our hatcheries, they'd probably become a lot more interested into the methodology. And then we could explain that we use the fish's hard structures that grow as the fish grows and picks up small trace elements in their environment. And we can remove these structures, run a laser across them, and during this laser ablation, a small vacuum is picking up the material into a machine and looking at the chemical composition, and then spits out that information in a form where we could look at it and compare it to known values taken from water samples to determine where that fish has traveled and how long it spent in different systems. And that's a much, much cooler explanation of what we're actually doing than just telling people we're doing microchemistry or laser ablation inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. Now, I'm sure there are a handful of microchemist fish people out there that are screaming in their car or screaming into their phone after hearing my explanation. I most likely skipped some steps, but the public has a better idea now about the method and is more likely to tell someone else about it or look into it further. Along these same lines, our plenary speaker on Wednesday of the AFS meeting, Dr. Christine O'Connell, likened explaining science to explaining sports to someone that has zero experience with that particular sport. It was a short paragraph that she had taken from a widely circulated newspaper. It was talking about a Yankees versus Red Sox baseball game. And there was a bunch of technical details in there that I'll admit I didn't quite get the first time reading through it, but I'm not the most diehard baseball fan. She then had two people from the audience come up, and one an avid baseball fan, and he had to try to explain to another lady who didn't have any idea of the rules of baseball. He had to explain this paragraph to her in a way that she would understand. And after about a few minutes of trying it out, he didn't do that good, and she still didn't know what was going on with the paragraph. And this example just further showed how difficult it is to communicate science to people that don't know any of the background information about what we're doing. And that brings us back to the main point of this podcast, communicating fisheries science in a manner that both fisheries professionals and the public can understand. As far as format goes, the podcast will likely be an interview format with different guests providing different input about each week's theme of a certain fish, principle, or technique. Episode topics will vary, but some will be based on time of year and holidays, like a Halloween episode about scary-looking fish, or fish with names like pirate perch, or a special fish reproduction episode the week of Valentine's Day. I also plan to highlight any fisheries conferences that I am aware of a week or so before that conference, as well as keep people up to date on deadlines That is, if I can keep track of all of them myself. Another idea I've had is to have a non-fisheries professional come on to each episode so that the guest scientist would have to explain their project or their study animal to someone not in the field, and we would have an instant reaction whether they're explaining it in a way that's easy to understand. Who knows, it could be harder to find members of the public than I think to come on and talk about fish, so it might just be my wife or my brother or my mother-in-law. Another idea would be to keep track of unique fishy puns in each episode. The fisheries community on Twitter loves their fish puns. It could be fun to keep track of who can slip the most fish puns into an episode and reward them after milestone episodes such as 50 or 100 episodes. As of right now, the plan is to have an episode once a week and have each episode be about 30 minutes long. But this is a learning experience for me, so episodes could be a little longer, a little shorter. They could be a little more spread out once every 2 weeks. It all depends on the guest availability, if I can find someone to talk to, or if I want to talk about stuff by myself for 30 minutes. So with that said, I'm open to suggestions on topics or people that you would be interested in hearing about. 99% of the people I know work on freshwater Midwestern systems, so that would be a little boring for you marine folks out there, so I'll need a little bit of help from you guys. If you have an idea or person in mind, contact me on Twitter at FisheriesPod or email me at feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. If you are interested in partaking but are intimidated, don't be. As scientists, we have been trained to give highly technical presentations to a room full of people who are often smarter or more experienced than ourselves, or at least they think they are. And we don't think twice about that. So come on the show, tell me your story, and we will spread science together. Now for a PSA, I have never gone on or recorded a podcast before, so there may be a bit of a learning curve on my end going into this. So bear with me through the beginning, and hopefully this will turn into a really fun way to communicate what we actually do, and maybe down the road people will quit asking me if I'm going to write them a ticket. Again, I want to reiterate that this is a podcast for the listeners, so if you would like to hear about certain things, just let me know. You can reach out to me on Twitter at FisheriesPod, or email me at feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this first episode. Tune in next week when we will have my first guest, Dr. Quentin Phelps. We will talk about some classic inland fisheries management methods and, of course, invasive carps. I am Nick Kramer, and thank you for listening to the first episode of the Fisheries Podcast.